Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church Wednesday evening prayer meeting services. We welcome each one here and online with us. Turn with us this evening in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. Last week we had looked at verse 13, at least a portion of verse 13 of this 11th chapter. And for just a few minutes this evening, we want to consider another thought that we find there in the last half of that verse. Let's read verse 13. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, Ezekiel was told to prophesy to particularly these 25 princes of men. Recall, he was taken by the Spirit. The glory of God had ascended to the east gate, over above the east gate, and the cherubim and the wheels there. And in Ezekiel's vision, he saw 25 men who were princes of the people. And two of them seemed to have been the leaders of it. And they were telling the people false things, things that weren't so, things that weren't true. They were lying to the people, they were lying to themselves. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy against them. And so verse 13 tells us, and it came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. He was the ringleader, so to speak. He was the head prince of the people. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? As I was thinking on this verse and the point that we'd be dealing with this evening, I began to be greatly troubled. And I wonder how many of you be in the same boat that I find myself in. We find here the man of God, the prophet, who God calls thou son of man, reminding him that he is the son of a man. Yes. But nonetheless, he is God's prophet. He's God's man. We find him supplicating. We find him supplicating on the behalf of his countrymen. As soon as judgment falls upon one, as he's prophesying, he falls down and begins to supplicate. He had a heart that was lamenting, a heart that was mourning for his people. We had seen this in back in chapter 9 and verse 8. Let's turn back there and read that. You recall the slayer, the slayers were going through the city, and they were slaying those who were not marked with the mark of the one with the rider's inkhorn. And as they were slaying, it says in verse 8, and it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? So we find two occasions here where Ezekiel falls upon his face and begins to plead on behalf of his countrymen, his people. In chapter 9, it was, he didn't ask about the remnant. He just said, will you not leave a people? Here in chapter 11, he mentions the remnant. Will you make a full end of the remnant of Israel? You see, Ezekiel had been showed all these things. He had been showed that two-thirds of them were gonna die. Some to the famine and the pestilence, and some to the sword. But there was going to be a remnant that was going to be saved. And so here he falls down, he pleads on behalf of the remnant that is to be saved. Will you make a full end of them also? Will you destroy them? Because it seemed to Ezekiel and that these 25 princes and Pelatiah would have seemed to him probably that they were part of the remnant that was spared. But they're the ones that God had told Ezekiel that no, they're going to be taken without the city. You prophesy to them, they're going to be taken without the city and destroyed. Killed, because they thought they were safe and sound and secure in the city in Jerusalem. God says, not so. But as I thought about that, upon the sudden death of Pelatiah, and even though it confirmed the truth and the veracity of Ezekiel's prophecy, which he was prophesying, he fell on his face, began to cry out to the Lord, began to supplicate to the Lord. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, do we fall upon our face? Do we cry out to the Lord with any regularity for those who are perishing of our countrymen? For those who are doomed to perish in our country. In keeping with this passage of Scripture, there are many that we've seen already, many that have been destroyed by the judgments. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. In verse 4, here we read, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. These are words that not only came to Jeremiah, but these were words that came to Ezekiel in past chapters we've seen. And so there are many, two-thirds of the people at least are going to perish. Many of them. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. And I think as we look at this psalm, I think this is something that you and I need to come alongside the psalmist with. Psalms 119, in verse 120, he says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee." My flesh, he said, "my flesh shakes and shivers." Why? For fear of thee. Actually, that is fear. That is terrible fear. They tremble. He trembles at the Lord God. Why? Why does he shiver and shake? Because of the fierceness of God. The fierceness of the Lord. He said, "And I'm afraid of thy judgment." Do we consider that? Do we consider how terrible the Lord is in wrath? In anger? Does our flesh tremble at the fierceness of Almighty God? Are we afraid of His judgments? Knowing that they come, and they're coming upon men, and they're something to be feared. They're not something to be taken lightly. We're called, just as Ezekiel was called, to be a watchman. To be a watchman to our fellow man and to sound out the warning. The judgments of God are coming. Do we shake and shiver at the thought of God's judgment being poured out upon the wicked? Being poured out upon our fellow countrymen? Upon our fellow human race? Turn with me to the 106th Psalm. The 106th Psalm. In verse 23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. God said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. Here we find another. We find Moses standing in the breach on the behalf of his fellow Israelites. He didn't want to see them utterly destroyed. He reminded God of his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He cried out to the Lord on behalf of his fellow countrymen. Said, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You see, Moses knew what God was able to do. When you and I say we know what God's able to do, when you and I say we know what God's going to do, but is there any fear before our eyes of what God is able to do and what God is going to do? As I said, he's called us, just as he had Ezekiel, to be a watchman. Just as Ezekiel sounding out the warning, he's called you and I to sound out the warning. The people. Ezekiel says, Shall the remnant which have escaped the sword also perish, Lord? I mean, here God's judgment began to fall upon Pelatiah. And was soon to fall upon the other 24 princes of the people and upon the rest of the people in Jerusalem. We've seen wicked men die. We've seen some that appear to be wicked. We don't know because we didn't really know them. We don't know their heart. God knows it. We've seen them die. We've seen them perish, so to speak. If they went out of this life, what it appeared that they were, when they died, they lifted up their eyes in hell, being in torment. Are we aware of that? We ought to be greatly concerned. We ought to be greatly affected by the sudden death of the wicked and by those who God's destruction is coming upon them. They're alive now. But lest God by His grace intervenes and saves their poor wretched soul, they're going to perish. They're going to be destroyed. We like to stand around in our groups and we like to talk about the evil and the wickedness of this country and the direction that this country is going and the evil and the wickedness that it's going into. But when was the last time we fell upon our faces and cried to the Lord, prayed to the Lord, beseeching Him to be gracious, to be merciful, and save their souls? You see, I think if we got this kind of thought into our hearts and our minds, that it would move us and it would motivate us to more to prayer, more to crying out to God. And then we would put action to our feet, into our mouths, and we'd be out sounding out the warning. God's judgment's coming. God's judgment's coming. You need to repent. You need to repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 17. Here we have the account of, excuse me, of David And he sinned. He's king. He's king of Israel. But he sinned. He sinned by numbering the people. Wasn't supposed to do that. God's judgment began to fall upon the people. Killed thousands of them. And look at verse 20 of the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And he cried, David did, unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying... I was looking at David along with this. I told you wrong. This is Elijah. Elijah is sent to the widow of Zarephath. He's sent to the widow of Zarephath, and she says, "Well, just have a little bit of meal and oil, and we're going to prepare it, and me and my son are going to eat and die." And Elijah tells her to obey him and to go cook meals and give first to him, and then to her and her son. And the cruse of oil didn't run out, and the meal didn't run out, but something happened along the way. Her son died. Her son died. The instance I was telling you about of David is in 1 Chronicles in chapter 21. And I decided not to go there tonight, but maybe we'll turn there and look at it, seeing as I talked about it, if I can find it. But in verse 20 here, Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? You see, now that didn't make much sense, did it? That God would not allow the meal to run out, would not allow the cruse of oil to run out, but then he's going to kill him? You see? Elijah fell down upon his face and cried before the Lord. Then he fell upon her son. And he was brought back to life. Let's see if I can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 concerning David. Then the Lord brought it to my mind, possibly wants me to read it. I can find what I'm looking for. Okay, let's begin reading with verse 14. This is God's judgment falling upon them because he numbered the people. In verse 14 of the 21st chapter says, So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men because of the sin of the leader. But I think also because no man in Israel stood up to the king and told him this isn't right. Except for maybe Joab. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. What did they do falling upon their faces? They fell upon their faces crying out to the Lord. They saw the death angel there. He had the sword in his hand. He's ready to kill more. Turn with me to a psalm of David in the 101st chapter. Psalms 101 and verse 1, and if you'll permit me to use it in this fashion. Verse 1, it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now this is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of praise. It would seem as though he makes a vow unto the Lord, and a profession of godliness. But in this verse here, we see something. He said, "I will sing. I will declare. I will make sounds of mercy." I will speak of mercy to you, Lord, because you are a merciful God. You are the merciful Lord. And I will speak of your judgment. You're terrible in judgment. Can we not apply that? When was the last time we fell upon our faces for the United States of America and pleaded for God to be merciful and to spare His judgment for a time? In the 102nd Psalm, it's not written by David. Well, let's put it like this. It's of unpositive origin, undetermined origin. It may have been David, it may have been Ezra, it may have been Nehemiah, it may have been someone else. But here, the psalm is said to be a prayer of the afflicted. When he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And look what he says. He said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. And let my cry come unto thee." When was the last time we were afflicted for the people of the United States of America? Our fellow citizens. And besought the Lord on their behalf. I might remind you, it does no good to fall upon your face and beseech the Lord on the behalf of your fellow countrymen. If you're not willing, if you're not out there sounding out the warning, if you're not out there telling them about Jesus Christ, that there is salvation in Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins. One other passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Verse 1 starts out, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." The time period then is the bringing them out of the captivity. Those who were captive, bringing them out of captivity. It said, verse 5, "They that sow in tares shall reap in joy." They were sowing tears. Tears because they were in captivity. And they sowing tears because of the captivity. were going to reap in joy because he was bringing them out of the captivity. And it goes on and kind of repeats it in verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He's going forth. He's weeping. He's weeping because of the captivity. And because of his weeping of the captivity, he's going to bring forth. Reaping, bearing precious seed, because the Lord is going to turn their captivity. Listen, you've heard this read and likened to those who bear the seed of the gospel and going out and preaching the gospel. They shall doubtless come again with joy. They that go out weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in their sheaves. And yes, because God is going to bring souls out of captivity, and slave market of sin, being dead in trespasses and sin. God is going to bring them out. Do we recognize that tonight? Do we realize that? Oh, we say we like to talk about God's elect. Oh, God has an elect. But also, God also has a gospel by which the elect are going to be saved. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. How shall they hear without someone to tell them? That's where you and I come in. It's our responsibility to be telling them, sounding forth the word. Yes, we ought to be weeping for souls. Well, I believe the weeping for souls is before and after we go out. We go out, take the gospel out, we come back and we weep because they seem to continue on in their captivity. And so we weep some more. So in tears, God be merciful. Take that which was sold, the gospel. Warn them again. Give them. Remove the stony heart. Give them a heart that is soft and tender to the things of God. Well, that's a couple messages away. That's one down in verses 18 through 20. We'll get in there and be dealing with that. We'll stop there tonight.